just a baby. Before I could speak, I would line up all my letter blocks alphabetically. Now it's my vocation and my passion to assign every decimal numbered shelf to every decimal numbered spine. I'm alive.
Hello, this is Carrie Segal with another episode of The Library Show. Today with me in Studio Zeno is J.R. Enchetta. Hey, J.R.
Hello.
Thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
Let's jump right in.
Okay.
Do you remember reading your first book?
I don't remember reading my first book, although I remember reading, learning how to read in English in the Philippines.
So you were born in the Philippines?
I was born in the Philippines, and I immigrated to Sitka when I was 9 years old.
What grade did you go into there?
I started kindergarten through second grade, and I jumped right into Mr. Rick Rollman's third grade class at Verstovia then, now Kitu Shaheen.
And do you remember reading books in his grade?
Yes. We had SSR, Sustained Silent Reading. And I don't remember the books that I read that grade, and I think partly because that was during the time when I was adjusting.
To life in Sitka.
That's different, different life, different language, different languages.
What are the first books that you remember reading and kind of catching on to?
The first book that I really caught on to was actually the Narnia series by C.S. Lewis.
And did you start with, as most people do, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
Yes, I did.
Which is book two in the series.
It is book two.
And Magician's Nephew, I think, is book one.
Is the first one, yep.
So what drew you to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
I think it's the magic, that different world that could be possible right there, unbeknownst to you, that you discover.
Did you have a favorite character in the series?
Favorite character in the series. When I was young, I really loved Aslan. I mean, he was the cool dude.
And he's the lion, if I remember.
And he's the lion, yes.
Yes. And did you read all the books in that series?
I did. When I was young, I did.
Have you had the occasion to reread them?
I did. I remember, in an English class at UAF, University of Alaska Fairbanks, I can't remember her name now, but it'll come to me, I hope. Anyway, one of the assigned readings was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And so I read it for class, and then I started over again with number one.
And reread the whole series?
And reread the whole series.
Did you perceive it or interpret it differently as an adult than you did as a child?
I did interpret it differently because now reading it as an adult, you have a more world view or more knowledge of what's going on and the little nuances of life comes to play, I think.
I remember learning as an adult or after my first reading that they were actually books that had religious themes. And
it
I
does.
Never would have caught that
exactly.
As a child and never would have realized
yep.
that as a child.
And it does mirror a lot of Christian values and themes. And that's one thing that really was interesting to me was that it was there.
Now, are there any other long series that you've read and enjoyed as a young person?
As a young person, the other series that I really, 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 really enjoyed reading was the Harry Potter series.
Yeah, as many people your age, how old are you, JR?
I am 28.
So how old were you when the first Harry Potter book came out, or approximately?
Well, I remember David Lass. I was in sixth grade. He read the first Harry Potter book in the social studies class as a sixth grader.
Oh, I remember the time that he was a social studies language arts teacher.
Exactly.
So he read it to you in class.
Yep, he read it to me to us in class, and he had great character voices. I just remember, you know, doing our DOLs or doing something and then just listening to him read, and the book just came to life, and it was so wonderful, and I caught on.
Did you immediately go get a copy yourself and jump ahead of the class?
No, I didn't. And partly because, or I don't think I did, because I wanted to listen to him read.
And I assume you've read the entire series.
I've read it multiple times.
I think you were at that party that Kettleson put on. Maybe Maite Laurenti had something to do with it.
Yep.
What was that party about? I volunteered. They asked me to volunteer.
It was a midnight party, midnight, I think it was, before midnight. And it was a midnight party. We had a procession toward Kettleson Library after we received our books, or I can't remember. Or we started at Kettleson and walked to the bookstore.
And you got in line.
And we got in line.
To buy the Harry books. Potter 7. What's the title of Harry Potter 7?
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Oh.
Is that it?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I actually was never the biggest Harry Potter fan, but I grew in appreciation. Definitely grew. The first book, I thought, just filled with all those things you would expect in
exactly.
a magical book.
Yep. The first one was magical. The second one is my least favorite. The third one's actually still my favorite and has remained my favorite.
Which is the third?
The third one is The Prisoner of Azkaban.
And what is it about it that you like?
Well, I think... it was still the moment when Harry was still young enough, and also it had a very hopeful ending, and that really caught on to me. I just love that book, and
Can I share a memory from that
sure.
party? Now, the party had lots of activities,
yes.
and then we started the progression to go over to Old Harper, and we were lining up inside the old Kettleson, which is soon to be the new Kettleson, the new Sitka Public Library. And you got a little teary-eyed
yes.
in the line, and I thought, what is this? These people are a little crazy. But then you said something, and you said that these were the books you had grown up with. And it was actually that moment that I gained my fullest appreciation of the Harry Potter books. As a librarian, I always appreciated that it got kids reading.
Yes.
But then I kind of understood what the compelling part of it was, even though I had never felt that compelling part.
Exactly. And that's how I felt, because that was my senior year. Or entering my senior year. And it was an interesting journey to have shared that experience with so many people.
I think that was maybe something missing for people of my age. There was no one book that we all shared in such a heartfelt way. I never was into the Nancy Drew books. And for girls, maybe back in the age, that would be a common book they shared that they really liked. But there was that piece that was maybe missing that was
yes.
evident in the Harry Potter books of people wanting to be in this world, in
yep.
this world, loving Harry Potter,
yep.
loving the whole idea of this magical realm.
And it's similar to The Land of the Witch and the Wardrobe. It took you to another magical realm, and it really allowed your imagination to just explore.
I've noticed, too, the Star Wars phenomenon over this break, which for me is a break, a holiday break, is when I went to the first Star Wars movie, is it seems to be that it's a passing off from the old actors
yep.
and the old characters to the new generation. And what was fascinating to me is I went to pick up somebody and give them a ride home from the movie, and streaming out of the theater were kids, toddlers, grandparents, parents, and that this was something that they were sharing together, and
exactly.
obviously was something the parents were happy that they could share from their childhood 30 years ago with their grandchildren or children now.
Yeah,
so.
Shared experiences are wonderful.
Have you read anything else in the Harry Potter series that's outside the seven books?
excuse me. I started reading the textbooks that J.K. Rowling wrote. The Quidditch history and the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And there's a third book that I can't remember the title at the moment. And it's just fun read.
Yeah. In the news, I've been reading about a play in England. I think it's being produced in England called Harry Potter, the Cursed Child.
Exactly.
And it's just so fascinating to read about because there's quite a controversy.
Well, there is a controversy.
Maybe you can
on.
Talk about what the controversy is.
Well, the controversy was the casting of Hermione. And the company casted Hermione. I can't remember the actor's name. We should have looked into that. But she was African American, and a lot of people have depicted Hermione as Caucasian.
What I think is interesting is though that there's this long tradition of fan fiction where people depict the characters in the way they want to depict
exactly.
them. So there's a long history of actually Hermione that appears to be African, British African,
mm-hmm.
or of different races. So
yes.
There's actually a tradition, and
yes.
so this isn't anything new that's going on.
And I enjoyed that J.K. Rowling tweeted.
I saw her tweet.
The canon.
uh-huh.
So.
That she never deliberately depicted
exactly.
or described Hermione in any way to give a indication
of race.
Mm-hmm. race. Mm-hmm. And then naysayers say, no, look on this page.
Exactly.
It says that Hermione's white face is peering through a window or something. So it's just very interesting to see how people have
react.
Their own mm-hmm. feelings about characters.
But it's a very deep and very... I don't know. It's because I have my Hermione,
mm-hmm.
my depiction of Hermione in my head, which is completely different from the Hermione in the screen, and that might be different from another person's Hermione.
Yes. Well, I myself am for recasting and changing things up a bit.
Yeah.
As everybody deserves to look at the screen and see themselves depicted
exactly.
on the screen.
Yep.
So that's all good. And if good actors are good actors, let's hire them.
Yes.
I see in front of you the next thing that we're going to talk about.
Sure.
You have some books that appear to be in a foreign language.
There are books, another series that I've started. These are books from France, but they're French. And the series is with Le Petit Nicolas, Little Nicholas, and it is written by René Goscinny and illustrated by Jean-Jacques Sampé. And it's the equivalent to, I think, The Diary of a Wimpy Kid. However, I must admit I haven't read The Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Are there illustrations in the book?
Oh, yes.
I think that's maybe what people are talking about if they think it's similar to Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Exactly.
Because illustrations are a key part of
yes.
that book.
And it is hilarious.
Have you read the whole series?
I haven't read the whole series. I've just finished the first one.
And what's the title of the first one?
The first one is Le Petit Nicolas.
And I'm going to interrupt you a second.
Sure.
When you say those titles and the author, I clearly hear that you speak French.
I do.
How did that happen?
I started learning French from Miss Elizabeth Will at Sitka High School, and I fell in love with the language and kept studying it through college, university, and I am now an instructor, adjunct instructor, teaching French, elementary French, French 101 at University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I've heard such good things as of Liz Will as a language instructor.
Yes.
Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, I learned how to learn in her class, developed some really good learning skills, because learning a language is really difficult. And one thing that really stuck through when I was studying French with her is that you just have to keep trying, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Well, you obviously have.
Yes.
Well, let's get back to the book.
Sure.
What's it about?
The book is about this little schoolboy, Nicolas, and I don't know, he's in elementary school, and I don't know the age. He's around seven, I believe around seven, and he, so the books are kind of just little snippets of his life at school and at home, and how he gets in trouble, and how he gets in trouble with his friends, he gets in trouble at home, the little things that he does, and it's just fun to read.
Is he, as my friend would say, a naughty sparkle, or just a kid who gets in typical sort of
kid
problems?
Kid problems.
Do you learn anything about France by reading these books?
Yes, you read, especially the first one. I'm going to grab it because you learn the typical elementary school in France. And
are there some striking differences from your own experiences in the Philippines or the United States?
Especially in France, and I think, I'm not sure if they do this in the Philippines as well, but when the director, the principal, walks into the classroom, everybody stands up until they are told to sit down. And that's one thing that is kind of funny in these books, is because, you know, that's those are the little nuances of culture that you learn from these books.
Yes. So are there other French books that are dear to your heart?
One's really dear to my heart is The Little Prince by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry.
When did you first read that?
I first read it in senior year with Miss Will.
And what is it about that book that you love and obviously millions of other people love?
Well, I just like how it is so philosophical. It's a children's book that is not meant for children. It's actually meant, I think, more for adults. And it just reminds you to, you know, the book really reminds you to view the world as a child again. And I just love that.
We, at Blatchley, Miss Demmert, Emily Demmert, has her eighth graders read it. I have to say, Emily Demmert is the readingest teacher in the school district,
That's
I believe.
Awesome.
She is reading YA and young adult literature in a way that puts me to shame as the librarian there. But she has them not only read The Little Prince, but as a culminating activity, they have to imagine a next chapter.
Yes.
What happens to the little prince, or what happens? Is it the rose? A character, the rose or the flower in The Little Prince? And then do an illustration of that chapter.
Oh, great. That's
so
awesome.
They're being, all of Sitka's being introduced to the little prince, if they come through Blatchley, that is.
Oh, cool. That is very cool. And there's a movie that's coming out as well.
Or
it came out. I can't remember.
I haven't seen it. It may not have been released in America yet, is what I imagine. That
probably.
It hasn't yet been released here. It looks fantastic.
Yes.
Looks, I've seen trailers for it.
Too.
Yes. Very magical. What's the hardest thing you read in French?
The hardest thing I've read in French? Some of the French novels some French novels are pretty thick and laborious. Like reading Victor Hugo in French can be pretty time-consuming, because sometimes, you know, the description goes on and on and on.
Do you have a degree in the language?
Yes, I do. I have a degree in foreign languages and concentration in French.
Very good. Mm-hmm. What other languages do you speak?
I speak Ilocano, and that's my, I think, mother tongue. When I lived in the Philippines, and I can understand and speak a little bit of Tagalog.
Have you ever read a book in either of those languages?
No, I haven't. Not recently. And it's the reason is it is difficult for me to read in Tagalog or Ilocano. I have to sound it out in order to.
So it doesn't come naturally. You don't
doesn't.
You don't remember your early experiences of reading that language.
And I think, and partly because I'm a heritage speaker, meaning I grew up with the language, but I never was taught the the grammar and the syntax of the language.
And didn't have experiences writing essays.
Yes, exactly.
Or being required to read much in the language because you came here at a young age.
Yes.
Yes. So anything else in your French collection there?
I do have one little study guide for those learning French book, and it's called English Grammar for the Students of French. And it is a wonderful resource for students who are interested in learning French because it has, it's a book that explains to you, explains the grammar in English, or what is it in English, and then how that differs or how that is similar to French. And it's written in a very simple way, and I use it a lot because it has really interesting diagrams and explanations that are easy enough for me or for my students.
I understand that you're developing a class for the university.
Yes, I'm refining. I taught my first semester this fall, and I am looking for materials. That's one reason why I'm reading the little Le Petit Nicolas this during the break, because I'm looking for material to use in class, some material to read or to use when teaching French at the college level.
Is it a in-person class or an online class?
This class, excuse me, it'll be an online class. I'm doing both, actually. I'll be doing both, I hope, in the fall. That's what my plans are.
So it's the class you're developing. You're looking for resources. Yep. When will the class go online?
The class should be, I hope, online in fall of 2016. That's next year.
Oh, so you have almost a year to prepare for the class.
Exactly.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
What are your other interests besides the French language?
Well, I have found I've been very passionate in photography, and I've really, really loved photography. And one of the books that is on my reading list for this break is something that my photography professor, Charles Mason, has recommended me read, which is Hold Still by Sally Mann.
And do you know anything about, you haven't read it yet. But do
I
you
haven't
know
read it yet.
Anything about the subject?
Yes, Sally Mann is a photographer from Virginia, and she is famous for several series. One was she's most famous of her series of her immediate family, and that's what the series is called, is Immediate Family. And she photographed her family, documented her family, and it received some controversy because she photographed her family as they were, and sometimes they were nude, and she photographed them, and she received some controversy for that.
Oh, would there be any other series that I might know about, or images that I've seen before, or anybody might have seen, or is she a photographer that photographers know about?
She's a photographer that I believe most photographers should know.
Okay, but maybe not a common person like me. There's somebody laughing in the studio over that.
No. It's not like Ansel Adams or somebody who's more current or
known by everybody. So why did your professor suggest this book?
Well, Sally was my professor's neighbor, I think he said that there's some things that that would be great for me, because I'm in the middle of projects at the moment, and I'm looking for my next project.
What did you just finish up?
I finished a series of portraits in Fairbanks, and it was called Fairbankson's Portraits from the Golden Heart City. And I also, I've been working on a series of Sitka, actually, and I did a show in Fairbanks at the Wells Street Art Company. It's an art gallery up in Fairbanks, and it was of Sitka. So the title of the show was Sitka, Time and Tide, and I've been photographing Sitka with my Hasselblad camera the past 2-3 years.
Hasselblad?
Hasselblad. It's a type of camera. It's a film camera.
And what's special about that camera? Why did you choose that for your series?
It's square, and it's medium format, and I chose it because I wanted to know how to use the camera more and familiarize myself with the camera.
When you say it's square, do you mean the prints are square?
Yes, square. The prints are square.
And what's appealing about square?
It's a different way of composing images.
Oh, a different challenge to composing. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I see you have some other interests.
Yes, I took a ceramics course this past semester, and I fell in love with pottery or throwing.
And
I'm working with clay,
are
ceramics.
Are you currently throwing?
Not at the moment. But yes, I'll be taking another course next semester.
And have you read these books, or are there books that you're referring to in your work?
No, this was actually, I asked the ceramics professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, Jim Brashear, you know, what are the books that you would recommend a beginning student read over the break? And so he recommended these three books: A Potter's Workbook by Clary Illion, Ceramics, A Lifetime of Works, Ideas, and Teachings by Robin Hopper, and The Craft and Art of Clay by Susan Peterson. And I read the halfway through Clary Illion's workbook, Potter's Workbook. And it's a good resource for me, just to see what shapes there are and way of seeing pots.
Does it give you actual ideas for some of the work you plan to make?
Yes, actually. They have some this book has some really interesting graphics that I really like. And yes, it has given me some insight to some of the pieces that I'd like to do next semester.
Well, I'm going to share with you something I've been doing over the break.
Sure.
I'm I have to do continuing ed, so mm-hmm. I'm taking a children's literature course. Mm-hmm. And I spent so much time this summer looking for the perfect course that I almost drove myself mad. I did look into a French course online, and the one or two that I found that I liked cost $1,700.
Wow.
And then the one I could afford, I got in, and it just seemed like something I might be able to knock off in a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did want to learn something. So I ended up taking a children's literature course from Brigham Young University.
Oh, cool.
And I've been enrolled for 3 months and have yet to turn in one assignment. But I'm very close. The assignment I'm working on now is to read 24 children's books. I don't have free rein, which isn't the happiest of circumstances. Mm-hmm. I have sort of a limited list, and they're often oldish books from the 70s and 80s, and some classics, but also some newer books. And so I've been kind of plowing through the books. And today I went to school to kind of get some work done at school, and instead I read 4 books. But I see now that I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to talk about these fascinating books at a different time and wrap this up. I've enjoyed having you on.
Thank you for having me.
Carrie Segal, The Library Show, KCAW at Raven Radio. And tune in next week when we're going to have another interesting guest.